And open with me to John chapter 6. Gospel of John chapter 6. As you open there, let me ask you a question. If I said to you, wow, that is the work of God, whose work would you think that is? God's work. Keep that in mind. So John 6, 29, we're going to come to a verse today. I always like coming to a verse that's difficult, that I just can dig into and really try to understand what it says. We come to some words of Christ this morning where we need to apply what we learned last time. Labor for the food that endures. We need to labor to really understand what Christ is saying here. Our text is John 6, 29, and the title of the message this morning is, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Jesus Christ." John 6, 29 says that. It says, "Jesus answered and said to them, 'This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent.'" One thing is crystal clear about these words of Christ. They could be understood in two very different ways. But before we get to those two ways, let's get the context. It says, "Jesus answered and said to them." Now, who is that? To whom is Jesus speaking? I'm going to give you an answer that summarizes quite quickly everything we've seen in John 6 so far. All right, you ready? "Them," in John 6, 29, refers to Jews who do not believe in Jesus despite having seen many signs. They're Jews. These are Jews who believe that by good works, they can gain a right standing before God. But now Christ has come, and they have seen Christ's works, which are the work of God. They have seen Christ's miracles. They have seen his signs. Chapter 6 begins introducing us to this crowd. It says, verse 2, "A great multitude was following him because they saw his signs, which he performed on those who were diseased." Then the next section goes on to show us yet another sign that these people saw. They saw the feeding of the 5,000, where Jesus took 5 small loaves and 2 small fish, and he fed 5,000 men plus women and children. Then you might recall, we're now on the next day. Jesus overnight had gone over to Capernaum, and this is the next day. These people saw that Jesus isn't there. They rowed their boats gently across the Sea of Galilee, and they come looking for Jesus, and Jesus confronts them in their unbelief, saying in verse 26, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." And he tells them, "Don't labor merely for the food which perishes, but labor for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." They did not understand that saying, which is quite common. We're going to see that throughout chapter 6. Jesus says something, and they misunderstand it. They took this to mean that they have to do something to gain eternal life. So they say in verse 28, they said to him, "Well, what shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, these Jews, whose mind is always set on what it is that they can do, who do not believe in Jesus Christ despite seeing many signs, Jesus says, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." Well, what does that mean? What does that mean? Well, there are two very different ways to understand these words. That's the outline. Two ways to understand the words of Christ in John 6, 29. The first way is like this. You ready? This is the work that God requires of you, that you would believe and keep on believing. It's a present tense in the second half. This is the work that God requires of you, that you would believe and keep on believing in him whom he sent. In other words, this is the will of God for you. This is what God wants you to do. Well, let me ask you something. Is this what God wants you to do, is to believe on his son Jesus Christ? Absolutely. No question whatsoever. In fact, the entire Gospel of John was written to this end, that you would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you would have life in his name. Now, I could go through the entire Gospel of John and prove to you again and again and again that God's will for you, his desire for you, is that you would believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. Chapter 1 tells us that there was a man sent from God, John the Baptist. This man came as a witness, to bear witness to the light, Jesus Christ, in order that all might believe through him. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever what? Believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So understand this for certain. It is the desire of God. It is the command of God that you believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. So, if you are here today and you are not a believer, if you have not believed in Jesus Christ as the Son of God and as the only Savior, then know this, you are out of the will of God. And you should not expect blessing there. In fact, it's worse than that. You are under the wrath of God. John 3:36 says, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. So listen, it is true that it is the desire of God that you believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. But do you have any problem with that understanding of these words? I do. And I'll show you why. Well, number one, that is not what Jesus says. Look again at John 6:29. Jesus does not say this is the will of God, nor does he say that this is the work that God requires you to do. He says this is the work of God. Second, you see where it says this is the work of God? That's what it says, the word work. It is the same word used throughout the New Testament to repeatedly say that salvation is not of what? Works. Ephesians 2:8, 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. That means no part of salvation is from you. Not the grace, not the faith, not the salvation. It's the gift of God, not of works. Same word, lest anyone should boast. Third, if you take John 6:29 to mean this is the work that God requires of you, then you make saving faith a work. There's no way around that. You make saving faith a work. And most commentators see that problem, and some say, yeah, it's not a work. And so then they say, well, Jesus was just borrowing their words. He doesn't really mean it's a work of God. I have a problem with that. What's more, fourth, if you take Christ's words in 6:29 to say, this is the work that God requires of man, then you make this to say the opposite of what it says. You make it to say, this is the work of man, which God requires, that you believe and keep on believing in him whom he sent. But Jesus says, this is the work of whom? Of God. So, second, there's a second way to understand what Jesus says here. Are you ready? You ready? Take a look. Here's a second way to understand it. This is the work of whom? Of God. That you believe in him whom he sent. They had just said, what must we do that we may work the works of God? And Jesus tells them what they ought to do, which is believe, but he tells them it's a work of God. You see, the work of God here, it's ergon theou. Ergon theou in the Greek. That is quite a common phrase in the Old Testament, consistently referring to work that God does. Exodus 32:16. Now the tablets were the work of God. Ergon theou. Exact same words as here in the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament. The tablets were the work of God. And the writing was the writing of God engraved on the tablets. Psalm 64:9. All men shall fear and shall declare the work of God. Ergon theou. Same exact words here. All shall declare the work that God does. That is, praise God for his work. Ecclesiastes 7:13. Consider the work of God. That is, consider God's work, that a man cannot find all that is done. 7:13, consider the work of God, for who can make straight what he has made crooked? Ecclesiastes 8:17, then I saw all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. I believe that in John 6:29, Jesus Christ is, on the one hand, letting them know that what they must do is believe in him, and on the other hand, he's letting them know that they are dependent upon God. They need God. It's like saying you must be born again, which is what he told Nicodemus, something that Nicodemus couldn't do, and he knew it. There really is no work that a sinner can do to merit eternal life. There's no work a sinner can do to merit eternal life. And the work of God is that you believe on him whom he sent. Is faith a work? Yes, it's the work of God. Faith is the work of God. Take a look at John 6:35, because Jesus continues here. Look at 6:35. And Jesus said to them, now who is this? The same people who do not believe. Verse 36 tells you that they do not believe. All right, look at verse 35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who does what? Comes to me, mark it. He who comes to me shall never hunger. What's the second line? He who believes in me shall never thirst. Those two things are parallel. He who comes to me, he who believes in me, parallel expressions. Shall never thirst. Verse 36, but I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. Now drop down to verse 44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. You know what that's saying? That is saying that no one can come to Jesus Christ unless God does the work. Beloved, that's how sinful sinners are. We are dead in trespasses and sins. The Bible does not teach that sinners are sick in trespasses and sins. The Bible teaches that sinners are dead in trespasses and sins and completely dependent on the God of heaven to do a mighty work. That is the work of regeneration. We're dependent upon God for that. I think that you heard a great sermon last week from Ezekiel 36, in which the Lord said, I will put a new heart in you. I will put a new spirit in you. And then you had the vision of the valley of blank, blank, dry bones, dead people. And the prophet was told, prophesy to these dead bones. And you think, why in the world would you prophesy to dead bones? They can't respond. Ah, but the prophet prophesies to dead bones, and what happens? God does a mighty work and raises up from dead bones an army. You know what I think Jesus is saying? I think he is saying, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. Beloved, that's a great truth. You say, well, you make it sound like that if I believe in Jesus Christ, that's something that God has granted to me. Philippians 1:29, for to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in Jesus Christ, but also to suffer for his sake. John 6:65, therefore I said to you, no one can come to me unless it has been granted by the Father. In other words, faith is a gift. And really, your salvation from beginning to end is a great gift of the God of heaven, in which case there is something you should do. You should call upon the Lord for mercy. You should call upon the Lord saying, Lord, help my unbelief. Have you ever thought how difficult it is to believe and keep on believing in Jesus Christ? Any unbeliever can give you reasons why they don't believe. And we should say, call upon the Lord. Ask him for mercy. Tell him to help you with your unbelief. When an unbeliever says to you, you know, I just have a hard time believing that, and then whatever you told him, right? I just have a really hard time believing that Jesus' death in Israel 2,000 years ago has some meaning for me today. Well, let me ask you, how is it that you believe that Jesus came into a land far, far away, which most of us have never been to, Israel, 2,000 years ago, died on a cross outside of the city of Jerusalem, and somehow today you believe that? You think that you mustered that up? Did you come up with that? So let me tell you some good news for you. Are you a believer in Jesus Christ? Go ahead, raise your hand. Believer in Jesus Christ? Here's good news for you. This is the work of God, that you believe in Jesus Christ. And therefore, praise God. All the praise goes to God. Our salvation from beginning to end is a work of God's mighty grace. Praise God for faith in Jesus Christ, which he has granted to you as a gift. If you wonder, well, how come others didn't believe? Praise God. God in his grace had mercy on me. But I'll tell you what, he will have mercy on you. Call upon him. Call upon him while he is near. No one will ever call upon the Lord and be put to shame. Everyone who calls upon the Lord will be saved. You should call upon him for salvation. And if you say, well, I just have a hard time believing, then say, Lord, help my unbelief. James 1:18 says, God of his own will, brought us forth, that is, birthed us, by the word of truth, so that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift, including the gift of faith, is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. We are his workmanship. Workmanship. That is, we are the result of his work. We were dead, and God, being rich in mercy, made us alive. By grace are you saved. This is good news, beloved. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, praise God and keep on believing in Jesus Christ, no matter what happens in your life. Listen, there's a lot going on in your life, true? And it's not all pleasant. Not everything going on in your life today is really pleasant. But listen, Jesus says, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. That is a command of Christ to everyone who believes. Be boldly courageous. Be joyfully confident. That's what that means. Why? Because I have overcome the world. And what does the Bible say? Whatever is born of God, that is, whoever has been born again, overcomes this world, 1 John 5:4. And this is the victory that overcomes this world, even our faith. Our faith, which is the precious gift of God. You might be like me and you're like, well, I don't know. I kind of like both ways of understanding that verse. I do believe that Jesus is telling them that they need to believe in Jesus Christ. And they do. But I also do understand that salvation from beginning to end is a work of God. And if you like that, then you're going to like the commentator John Gill, the great theologian John Gill. And I know Brother Nate has mentioned him a number of times as well. Here's what John Gill said. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God. The main and principal thing which is well-pleasing in God's sight, and without which is it impossible to please God, and without which no work is a good work, is belief. But it is the operation of God, which he himself works in men. It is not of themselves. It is the pure gift of God. Great commentator who saw both sides, merged them together and said, yes, faith is absolutely necessary, but faith is also absolutely the gift of God. So if you're here this morning, if I have not been clear, let me be crystal clear. If you're here this morning and you believe in Jesus Christ, thank God for your faith. Praise God for your faith. I sent a birthday wish to Miss Fota, to somebody in the back. Probably doesn't want her name mentioned. And I said, I've been studying John 6:29 all week, and I hope that you will rejoice in the great gift of God that he has given you, that is faith in Jesus Christ. And she said, the best gift I've ever received was faith in Jesus Christ. Right, Connie? Oh, I'm sorry, Connie. Ah, man. Please forgive me. And if you're here this morning and you don't have Christ, listen, we understand how hard it is to believe. In fact, when the rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, what must I do to be saved? What did Jesus do? Gave him the law. Jesus gave him the law. And he walked away. And the disciples said, hey, the disciples were troubled by this. And Jesus then talked about how hard it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And the disciples, knowing that everyone has some level of riches, they said, who then can be saved? Remember that? Who then can be saved? And Jesus said, with men it is impossible. Oh, I'm glad he didn't stop there. But with God, it is possible. If you don't have Christ, pray to God and say, God, save me. That's how I got saved. God, save me. Forgive me. Have mercy on me. Don't leave here without Christ. Don't leave here thinking, well, I just don't believe all that. We get it that you don't believe all that. And you will never believe it unless you call upon the Lord. You need to humble yourself today. Today is the day for you to humble yourself and say, God, forgive me of my pride, my arrogance, my stiff-neckedness. Save me. Because you don't want to leave here without Christ. Don't harden your hearts today. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your word, which is not always easy to understand, even as Peter said concerning Paul, some things are hard to understand. But we thank you that by your grace, through study, we can come to understand some things. And we praise you for what we do understand, that this great gift of salvation is indeed a gift from beginning to end. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.